あと、部屋は明るくして、テレビから3メートルは離れて見上がってください。
Heading swiftly into a midlife crisis. This is Anime Diet Radio episode number 39. I'm your host, Michael Huang, and no, we are not going to carry any erectile dysfunction ads.
Oh, wow. You know, Mike, that was just, that, I was, brilliant. This is Ray from Taipei, and I think every con should be run like NYAF, where only paid people are guaranteed to get tickets, and for the rest of you who can't pay, well, too bad. This is capitalism.
Oh, this is Jeremy in Redondo Beach, and I think, in fact, we might be encouraging some erectile dysfunction by posting pictures of Ray as the capitalist pig.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Finally, I'm no longer the whipping boy of this show. Ha-ha.
Well, normally I would have said you. I almost defaulted to you, Mike, just because it's just such a general response. But since he said that he was, in fact, the capitalist pig, I had to go there. Sorry, Ray.
Well, you want to see my ass right now?
No, Ray. No, I'm sorry.
only if Mike dresses as Krauser and starts whipping you.
Aha.
What, this wimp?
The tables are turned at last.
Yeah, well, I still got the money.
Well, that's probably true, yes. He does have the money.
Yes.
And that's always going to be the one thing that rules the world, isn't it? Yep. But in either case, we're still bringing this to you for free, and we've got quite another interesting show for you today with three beautiful and funny news items. Whoa. And a little bit of response to not only mail, but also some of your responses to our live stream of the Indecent Otaku Comedy Hour panel a couple of weeks ago at AX. And finally, we're going to wrap up with our usual roundtable discussion about semi-serious topics.
So, Mike, how was that fluid tasting? Good?
It really refreshes so much. It's like a party in my mouth.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. What can one even say? What can one even say?
And the party's just starting. That's right. So, without further ado, why don't we go ahead and take you to our first awesome fat news item. When you think Gainax, or at least when I think Gainax, I usually think of Mr. Hideaki Anno. But actually, there were some other people involved in that studio as well, including one Toshio Okada. Toshio Okada has also been known, of course, as the Ota King, the king of all otaku.
Also the Gainax pig, right?
That's right, the Gainax pig. He's if you looked at Otaku no Video, which is essentially a Gainax autobiography, he's depicted as this really huge fat dude in glasses, wearing a plaid shirt. And he really was that big and that heavy. Until now. Over the last couple of years, Toshio Okada has actually lost more than 100 pounds in 1 year. And he is now of a normal size.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, he used to be 250 pounds of nerd, according to the press release for his book, Sayonara, Mr. Fatty, a geek's diet memoir.
He was more of nerd than you can shake your arrow gay at.
So why didn't they call it, like, Sayonara Zebutsu Pantsu, like spare spare pants, you know? Because it has a picture of him holding out these huge pants.
That's right.
I know Pantsu just kind of has a different meaning, but it just sounded funny.
I think that they are actually trying to pitch this book beyond the anime and the manga audience, though I'm not sure why anybody else would probably buy it, because they're not going to know who he is. Because, you know, they're actually kind of pitching this generally as a geek story overall. Like, that's why they kind of retitled the book that way, as a geek's diet memoir.
The undergeek.
Yeah.
An undergeek story.
Yes, an undergeek story. And he's actually exactly the same height as me, 5'7", interestingly enough. but he weighs a lot more than I do, at least so far, but back in the day.
Are you sure about that?
I'm not going to see, my weight here is a Himitsu, but
yeah, you're not that.
Yeah, as well as my other two Fair sizes, but
For those of you who don't know, we are participating in a beauty contest.
That's...
All three of us.
I think that wasn't supposed to go out until, you know, we're at least, like, semi-finalists. You know, because otherwise, you know, they're gonna take glamour shots of us, I think, then. Yeah.
Does that mean we get to have, like, little background sparkles and...
Yes.
For little all twinkles in our eyes and... All that good stuff.
Oh, yes. We're going to be the toast of all the fangirls after that.
Geeks on film.
Geeks on film. Well, the book actually is supposed to be yet another diet plan that worked for him. And he built a better program, supposedly. Love juicy cheeseburgers? No time to go to the gym? Afraid there will always be another rebound down the road? That's okay. This is a thinking person's weight loss plan, a diet for the rest of us.
So what did he just like start going to Subway all the time? It's just like the Jared of otakudom.
I know.
I actually tried to do a little research on what the contents of the book was like. It's actually available in English. I need to make that clear. Actually, there is an English translation.
Is that what research? Is that what you're calling it? Yeah. Reading it to see if you can get some tips.
Yes, actually. I'm actually really interested in this book to see what his whole approach is. Or the idea that I have is that I actually remember reading an article actually about a year ago about his whole loss of weight. And what he does is that he still eats the same crappy, unhealthy food, actually. He just like...
Yeah, that's gotta be good.
He buys one of those Royal Mega Burgers or whatever they have at McDonald's, which is basically a four-patty Big Mac. They only sell that in Japan, believe it or not.
Yes.
Jeez, yeah. Really? I'm really surprised they only sell that in Japan.
I know.
You'd think that they would sell that here and they wouldn't sell that in Japan.
Exactly, but, well, against all conventional wisdom, that's actually what they do. They only sell that in Japan, and he was a huge fan of them. But what he did is that instead of eating the whole thing at once, he would actually split it in four, and he would just eat one quarter of it per meal. He also started writing down everything he ate. He didn't actually even, it doesn't sound like he even kept track of calories. He just simply wrote down what he ate. And I think, and I've actually experienced this phenomenon before. Have you guys ever, like, done one of those time management programs where, you know, for the first couple of days, you just simply write down whatever you're doing per hour?
No.
Management? Never. Really?
Yeah. It's like the act of writing things down can really open your eyes. Just writing things down.
Or you like, say that because
seriously,
like,
do you want the otakus out there to be writing down what they do every hour? Wake up, go to the bathroom,
take a giant
computer, get some tissues,
take another giant stroke.
Yeah, I know that might be the only hitch with this particular program, but it's I think just limited to food.
But you were saying though, if you've ever done that, you. Experience some sort of, enlightenment, some epiphany that happens?
Well, more like shame, more likely.
Like otakus have never experienced that.
And so, you know, by writing things down, you know, you automatically start wanting to control yourself a little more, I guess. Because then, you know, so you won't have to write down anything embarrassing again. I guess this only works on certain kinds of people, though. I don't think it would work for everybody, quite frankly.
Basically, that. Those of us who have no shame.
Shame? What shame?
Right. Krauser has no need for shame, I don't think.
Show it to your father. Show it to your mother. Show it to your teacher. Show it to your pastor.
In either case, it's like apparently, you know, the American publishing market felt fit to actually think that there was a general broad audience for this book. And so they have brought it over here and translated it. And it is now out on trade paperback for
$14.95. Wow, a steal.
That's right.
Actually seems kind of pricey, if you ask me. But
It is actually a little expensive. But it is a brand new book that just came out last Tuesday. So
it's in paperback, though.
Yeah, it's in trade paperback, right. So it's a little bigger than like a mass market paperback book. But... But the thing is that, you know, of course, if you're an otaku and you like Gainax or you worship at the Gainax altar and you're also maybe a little chubby, you know,
I got your channel, Mike.
Then you might well actually benefit from this book. Go and pick it up. I might even buy it and like write a review. Who knows? Especially if it works.
But you know, guys, I think there's a really, really well-documented secret to dieting, to losing weight at least.
Which is?
Get some exercise, duh!
Yeah, apparently this is an exercise-free plan. And so, yeah. Quite frankly, who knows how healthy that is.
Right, that's what I'm kind of wondering. I mean, not to say that I eat healthy. In fact, that's often my concern that I'm actually fairly thin, well, for the most part, except for a little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyways, yeah, below the belt. But
this sentence is a little worrisome from the press release. Be in command of your own geek kingdom and never say no to a hamburger again.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, that's a little worrisome. Anyways.
I'm in command of my own meat kingdom.
Yes, you are. You're the master of your domain, Jeremy.
Like I said, a small step for Japanese schoolgirls and a giant stroke for otaku kind.
That's right. And with that, why don't we go ahead and move on to our next fascinating news item. Now, religion, you know, is a central part of every human culture. And in Japan, of course, the traditional religions are Shinto and various variations of Buddhism. Buddhism, however, doesn't necessarily have the hippest reputation around, at least
really?
According to certain people in Japan. I mean in Japan. I don't mean people like Richard Gere over here. But
I thought the only thing more hip than Buddhism was Judaism. But
well, the thing is that some Buddhist temples have saw fit to do some promotion among otaku kind, seeing some potential converts in that region. So they have decided to do Moe Buddhism, Moe artwork depicting various stories from the Buddhist scriptures.
Dude, I'm sorry, no matter how you slice it, Buddha is not Moe. There's just no way to make Buddha Moe. He does have some man tits, but, you know.
He's got growing thingies on his head.
And the thing is that, yeah, I'm taking a look at these pictures from Senkaku Complex of some of the artwork examples. And yes, it does seem they have the art style down. But being not very familiar with this variation of Buddhism, I'm not exactly familiar with what it depicts. It practices a form of Buddhism known as Nichiren Buddhism. And so, you know, apparently this is actually, you know, part and parcel with the fact that the Lucky Star Shrine.
Nichiren Buddhism, really?
Nichiren? Like Nietzsche?
I know.
No, Nichiren, I believe, is what he had said.
I know that.
Yeah, Nichiren.
Nichiren Buddhism is the one that says, like, Buddha is dead. Something like that.
And we have killed him. Yeah. Well, actually, there is an old story or a saying about if you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him. That's an old Zen koan, I think.
Oh,
it's a peaceful religion.
Yeah, sure. In Japan, it sure was. You know, Japanese the monks always warred. They always fought somebody. They always had weapons. They marry like anyone else. Now, traditional Buddhism in Asia, you're not supposed to get married. You're not supposed to get near women. But in Japan, hey, you can do whatever as a monk. You get rich. Yeah. Oh.
Well, come on. This is the country with giant, you know, stone penises everywhere. Come on. Of course they got to get married.
I'm looking at some of these other pictures, and they honestly look like something from, like, an RPG or something. Seriously. it looks like they've got little, like, diagrams showing, like, different powers or something like that. Omen, Sippo, Ningyo, which I thought was the word for, or something like that. I can't read it anyway, but it's,
Ningyo?
Ningyo is the word for, chivalry, right? Or
doll.
Oh, Ningyo, no. Doll, okay. Doll. I don't know Japanese.
I knew that, but I was reminded how bad my Japanese was during AX, so.
And there's another instructional picture that says, tells you kind of how to pray the mantra. Place your hands together and recite, you know, the phrase.
See, now that's useful.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like I've never seen that when I go to like I went to a Buddhist temple for a project that one of my friends had to do for his one of his college classes just to go. And, you know, they have all these, like, you know, little things about the different Buddhas, and most of it's in, you know, Japanese stuff. And, but it just didn't, no instructional stuff. Mm. Nothing telling you what to do.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I could see that being useful. Like, you go to a temple the first time and you don't know what to do. Hey, that'd be rad, dude, if they had those in, like, Catholic churches, you know, they could know, like, about the whole, what the whole, like, Eucharist is and all that stuff. You know,
you wouldn't
have people being confused.
I would love to see that. A moe explanation of transubstantiation. Oh, my Lord.
It'd be awesome.
A moe explanation of the Holy Trinity.
Oh, there that would go. Be even better.
But see, I'm wondering, you mentioned, though, they had all these different mentions of their different powers and stuff like that on these. Maybe their next angle that they're going to approach is they're going to create a video game out of it.
Yeah, they already look like video game characters.
Yeah, they have the website that you can have on your phone, and it has, like, all the little diagrams of the characters, and they make little statements. And I bet you that's their next step, is to make a little video game.
Yeah.
See, and they're going to be bringing them in by the scores, man.
Hey, yeah, what's the quest?
The quest is become enlightened.
Yeah, to achieve nirvana.
Yeah, and then rock out with, like, Kurt Cobain, dude. Oh, wait, no.
Yeah, who's the final boss? Who's the final boss? What's the
plot? Like, all the other, like, religious figures in the world? I don't know. Ultimate Mega Jesus!
Well, of course, this is not exactly the image that we necessarily have of Buddhism typically in the West. It should be noted that, yeah, this particular form of Buddhism is not as nearly as ascetic, for instance, as Zen Buddhism or Theravada Buddhism, which is much more meditation oriented and much more, I would say, strict. Where, you know, you have to basically fast and pray and go to the temple and devote your entire life to it. And the priests in Japan are traditionally rather worldly and relatively mercantile. And they're even thinking of selling moe goods on temple grounds.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'll be the first to buy it.
I wonder if they'll have, like, a frequently asked question on their website, like, where, you know, they have frequently asked questions, and then one of them is, like, you know, is it improper while I'm playing the sutra to be wanking off to the moe characters that I'm thinking? I mean, you know, is that...
I don't know.
Because I imagine that's got to be something that comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Notice
have
I
you,
said
something up. Do you guys think... Have you guys seen Ace Ventura Pet Detective 2 when we were in Africa?
I haven't.
It's been a very long time. I think I've seen parts of it.
Once he was naked, he was doing his mantra.
Interesting. So at least for Jim Carrey, I guess they go together. But and I suppose we'll see what kinds of people would be drawn to this. And what monks are going to have to do with them after they start attracting these kinds of people. So,
you know, in Buddhist temple, they have a lot of male monks, right? It's all male monks, in fact. Right. So why don't they have BL?
I think that would probably violate more than one tenet of traditional monasticism.
I mean, I'm not sure if they have a tenet, but it actually is pretty well known. I don't want to, like... how can I say, what is the word here, liable or slander, but it's actually pretty well known that in many of these temples and whatnot a long time ago, that a lot of the boys that were brought into under the tutelage, so to speak, of these monks were, became boy toys, basically.
Oh, wow.
BL baits.
Yep, yep. Yeah. So it seems right along in line. I'm not saying that goes on now. I mean, I have no idea. But, I mean...
Right. And so the thing... Yeah, I guess we're going to see what happens when modern anime and manga visual culture meets traditional religion. And this is going to be an interesting thing to watch in the future.
Okay. So if you fangirls out there who has interest like Ono Kaneko from Genshiken, petition for it.
Well... We'll see how far that goes. Yes. Fangirls, send all your mail to them. Let's go ahead and move on to our next news item. We bloggers, you know, I always thought that we were a relatively tame bunch of folks.
Really?
We anime.
Oh, sorry.
You know, I mean, yeah, we just had a rather indecent panel, sure, but on the whole, I think we're a pretty well-behaved bunch. Well, apparently, due to a recent incident that happened in a Malaysian convention with star Chihara Minori, otherwise known to her fans as Minorin, somebody, apparently an actual blogger from Malaysia, decided to do something that has earned quite a bit of both envy and hatred across the anime blogosphere. This particular blogger, who this actually was sitting somewhere in front row, and after Minorin had finished her performance, he decided to swipe her open water bottle with a straw sticking out of it.
Ew.
That's right. According to the description on Sankaku Complex, this is considered an indirect kiss by way of a notional exchange of fluids.
And, yes, fluid.
Say, yeah, that's more than an indirect kiss if there's an exchange of fluids.
Yeah. Yeah, and he went on to write about how this has become quite controversial, and it's because he got a sup of Minorin's precious fluids.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Now, of course, at the end of the day, this was just a water bottle with a straw, and he took the straw, and here's the thing, this particular blogger actually wrote an article about it and posted it online. We see the bottle when it was half full, and we see it empty, and we see him holding it.
Wait, he is the pride of Malaysia.
Thing is that, well, obviously, this is not something that happens every single day, neither in the blogosphere or in the otaku sphere. And, of course, many, many people have felt that what he did was extremely rude and disrespectful. And, honestly, I would tend to side with that view, personally. And, but there have also been many other people who left many comments in the comments section praising and stating envy of being able to get an indirect kiss from Chihara Minorin.
Yes. Lonely people. Lonely people.
Probably can't even test the DNA out of that bottle. After she's done drinking with it, it'd be so diluted.
Yeah. Mm. I just have to say I'm kind of shocked that somebody within our own blogosphere actually did this.
Now here's a question that I have. Really, honestly, I don't really give a damn. That's just me. I don't really care. I don't think it's a big deal in the sense that, ooh, wow, you know, like, I think, wow, that's so exciting. I'm just like, whatever. You know, I mean, I just don't think it's that big of a deal. I think the only part that might be considered that big of a deal is when he actually drinks it. Because I think it's weird. Like, what, is he just jolly? I mean, did they show the bottom half of him in the picture? You know, what was he doing while he was drinking it, you know? But, you know, it just, as far as him taking the bottle, if it was left there, I mean, you know, maybe he's into recycling, you know? Apparently not.
But, yeah, recycling more than just a bottle.
Yeah, recycling body fluids.
Fluid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, personally, I mean, I don't think he's got anything to be particularly proud of. I mean, I wouldn't be particularly proud of that. Not that I've ever done it. Anyhow. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's, I'm not particularly shocked either. Like, oh, dear Lord. You know.
Nah, I'd be proud of it if I sold it. And if some idiot Japanese otaku bought it.
Oh, yes.
See, now that, I think, would have been the smart thing to do, too.
Yes,
I agree. If you're going to do that, if you think that the people are crazy enough to buy it, yeah, sell the. I mean, freaking A. Somebody sold a. I remember back when hearing about somebody sold some half-eaten French fries that some movie star had left behind. I think it was like Brad Pitt or something. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, you know, people buy that stuff. And I don't know if. I think there was some debate on whether they actually could sell it because it was on eBay. It was some news story. You know, yeah, we have really important news that goes on here in the States. That's why I watch a lot of television news.
Oh, yeah.
Mm hmm. And I get the feeling that, you know, at least according to his article, he was kind of egged on by the people around him. Kind of like, you know, he's basically kind of been... like
a frat boy.
He was manipulated. Dude, all my friends were, like, telling me to do it. No, I mean, I don't know, like... Dude, I bet you won't do it. You know, come on. Dude, you, no way, you won't. You're a chicken, dude. Like,
man. Don't we have faggot? Don't we have faggot?
Yeah. I'm sure there was plenty of egging on and insults. Though what he describes it as prodding, brainwashing, and adrenaline-induced mania. And, yeah. And he also describes it as either my crowning moment of awesome or my height of stupidity. And I do not regret it for a single moment. And
yeah, I still see, like, you know, what is it, like, induced mania. I'd be just like, hey, you know what? You gonna finish that? Because if not, I'm going to take it.
Not really. Why do people even go to Malaysia anyway? Last time Aya went there, you know, she almost got stalked and tracked down. Who the fuck want to go there anyways? It's all punk asses out there that we don't get these things out here. And before you say, oh yeah, we got someone, and I can say, yeah, you got creepy people and Muslims.
wait, was he Muslim?
No, I don't know
that. But Muslim, it's Malaysia.
Malaysia is majority Muslim.
Is that like a tenet according to the Quran? Like, you know, thou must bow to Mecca and drink the floods of your enemies? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, this isn't exactly an enemy in this particular case.
I'm joking. I'm goofing.
I know. But,
yeah, sure, Mike. Sure, you know.
Yes, I do. You know, I have a theology degree. I know everything about every religion.
Okay.
That's right.
Most terrorism in the world are committed by Muslims, no one else. What does that tell you about that religion?
And see, there you go. And all the, like, idol stealing stuff as well. There you go.
He's probably terrified Minoring. If she read it, she'd be like, ew.
I actually thought I saw something about what she said. Apparently, she did say something on her blog about it.
What did she say?
I'm actually trying to find the reference for that now. Well, apparently she didn't... Okay, actually she didn't mention it. According to one Japanese blogger who actually read her blog, she said she only had positive things to say about Malaysia, first of all. And she doesn't, like... I don't think she even recorded or even minded, because after all, this bottle was taken after she had already left the stage, after the show was over.
Maybe she didn't even notice it.
It's quite possible, like, she didn't notice
it. That's what I'm saying. She probably doesn't even care. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that it definitely got a lot of flash in the pan notice, and it was probably really good for the vlog's traffic hits after that, but it certainly qualifies as a really good publicity stunt, if that's the main, you know, thing.
Exactly.
But
Exactly.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I certainly wouldn't do something like that, because I'm just not into that sort of thing. But
really?
It's like, yeah, I don't go for that kind of...
So what would you steal and drink the bodily fluids from?
I prefer to keep my preferences private on this matter.
Aquinas, Martin Luther.
Well, Martin Luther was all about the beer, so
he probably drank his beer that he didn't finish.
I don't know. I don't really like warm, spoiled beer. So
hey, that's not what you said last night. Just kidding.
Oh, no. Some people have been in San Francisco once again.
Do we want to let him in on the secret, Jeremy? Do we?
Secret in your head?
So let it out.
Maybe sometime later. Either case. All right. This particular story has definitely gotten a lot of attention, though it seems to be over for now. I remember seeing this about a week ago being exploding on the Malaysian side of the blogosphere. But, you know,
and we just gave him more exposure. Really? Did he really need that? Do we really need to push more traffic to someone else's blog besides ours?
Well, see, no, did you notice I never mentioned my name and I never mentioned the blog? And I'm going to stay that way.
Quick Google search. I'm sure they could find it.
Well, in either case, why don't we go ahead and move on to our mailbag and comment section. And we come to our mailbag and comment section.
Yay!
Where you share your love for everything we do. And
why bother do one anyway? Nobody really leave comments.
Well, actually, today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We're going to take the one comment that we got from our last episode, which was our whoring ourselves out for our Anime Expo events episode. And we're also actually going to take some of your comments from our live stream of the panel. which a good number of you followed along when we were doing that a couple of weeks ago. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and take our one and only comment from Anime Diet Radio episode number 38, the Come to Our Panel and Buy Our Zine AX Extra Special episode. Come to our-
the AKA the pandering. We want your dough.
Please, please.
Which we do want to say, we do want to say a big thanks to everyone that did come to our panel and did buy our zine. You helped us not to be as broke as we were before.
We're still broke,
but not as broke.
Yeah. I hope you guys are enjoying the zine, and I hope you guys enjoyed the panel. Anyways, our commenter here is from SMX, repeat commenter and repeat listener. Thanks for coming on. You guys all suck! Exclamation point, exclamation point. You did want flames, right? Smiley.
Yes.
Smiley. So, yes. I guess that sort of qualifies, right? Seriously, I do appreciate the hard work involved in setting up all this stuff, fanzine panel and all that good stuff, and good luck with all that. Well, thank you. It's kind of after the fact, but thank you for your thanks and sentiment.
Well, that's for future.
Yes. And yeah, that was the one and only comment we actually got from the last podcast episode, unfortunately. So curse all of you, and you better leave more this time. But
or Mike's ego will shrink and shrink.
There will be much shrinkage. That's
you can have more? Oh, wait. Oh, sorry.
Yes. And so, you know, because that was kind of the biggest thing that happened to us in the past couple of weeks, we're going to actually address some of your comments here on about the Indecent Otaku Comedy Hour live stream. Yes. First couple of comments were actually went up during the, and just before the show itself. So I wanted to actually kind of address the ones that happened afterwards, starting with Shelby. All right. Shelby says, "This is a damn good live stream. Yay for cable internet." Yeah! Yep. I'm glad that kind of that at least the stream worked out on that end. There were some other issues that were going on, but I don't really want to address that right now. But thanks for watching, Shelby.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed it.
Was it good for you?
All right. Orion says, "Gotta say, if nothing else, I'm impressed with the background music lineup you guys have. Kirameki, Yoko Box Stars, ROD theme, Excel Saga theme. I even think I heard the Misato theme song from Evangelion."
Thanks to me.
Yes, that's
I actually
right.
played the music, and Mike said, "Turn it off."
Yeah, it was kind of confusing during that time, so I really apologize for that, Ray. It was just a lot of things going on. But yeah, we did have lots and lots of background music that we right before the show. Mach and I played a few tunes, I believe, as well. And yeah, there was a lot of good music that was during the video in the during the video segments as well. The Misato song was during the Training with Reinako video section, actually. So that was really cool. The live content was a bit hit and miss, in my opinion, but all the video segments were very solid.
It was like the prize panel. That's the way I felt.
Yeah, well, on that note, basically what ended up happening is that because of the time getting cut short due to seating issues, getting people in and seated appropriately, which they required that we do, that took a lot of time. To fill up all the seats, and then we had an issue getting started with our video. Something glitched the last second, and then that took a while to correct. And then the video, so it started a little later. The video's a little long, and then by the time we got started, there was about a half hour left. So basically, and not to mention one of our last minute sponsors, which we were really grateful to for bringing all the absolutely incredible prizes that they brought over, AAA Anime, added on top of what prizes we already had at, you know, during the panel. So we're just like, okay, well, let's get them all out right now. Let's, you know, like, you know, just kind of go with it. So basically you had like a prize every so often, going from a prize every so often to going to a prize every like 30 seconds practically. So yeah, I mean, yeah. It did totally turn into prize panel. In right. many respects, and I think that's something that we will definitely have, hopefully, a lot of great prizes giveaway next time, but do it in a little more
a balanced way, I think.
Balanced fashion.
Yeah. We're glad at least you enjoyed the video segments. I think those were pretty solid too, myself.
Indeed.
Jesus 159159159. So you're the 159th like incarnation of Christ or what? I mean,
That's oh, no, maybe, that's Christ.
Maybe there's a pattern to the numbers.
Let's see. 1 plus 5 and plus 9 is 15. 15 is 3 times 5. Whatever. Anyway.
Oh, man.
As Kurt Vonnegut once said, God is not into numerology, and I believe that. But to add to Orion, the DMC ending song was pretty nice, too. I almost forgot that I didn't download that song. Download. How could you? Especially with your namesake.
He might mean download from a legitimate source like iTunes or Amazon. Give him a break. He is the Messiah at the 159,000 something. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So, where are those live stream prizes? Smiley.
Huh?
Where are those live stream prizes?
Stay tuned.
Asking you.
Yeah, that actually didn't seem to pan out as, you know, in the way that we planned to do it. But I think we're actually trying to think, we might want to think of a way to actually reward everybody who did watch the panel in some way. Or maybe a future contest down the road. So I don't know yet. I can't tell you anything definitive right now. But rest assured, we will work on that. I think we will definitely work on that. And finally, Andrew Choi, from formerly of Anime 3000, one of our friends. You guys should be really proud of yourselves. The panel was great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Well, that pretty much concludes our mailbag and comment section for this time. If you have any comments you want to leave about this episode, send them either to editor@animediet.net or leave a comment underneath the comment section of this post. And so please send us your love as well as your hate if it's at least well articulated so that we can embarrass you further on the air. Thanks to everybody who did leave comments for both things, and we will see you next time. And why don't we go ahead and move on to our final roundtable section.
Red lights at the round table, green dots where we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot.
And finally, we would conclude every Anime Diet Radio episode with a discussion. A nice and relatively well-balanced, serious, and absolutely boring discussion.
Yeah, in fact, it's so boring, I'm tuning out right now. we'll try to make it not boring.
Yeah, we're not really going to bore you to tears today, because we're going to be talking about something I think is pretty interesting, and it kind of actually plays off of the last news item that we did about the blogger who took the water bottle, which is kind of about the state of otakudom these days.
Emphasis on dumb.
Yes, otakudom. And whether there seems to be a market decline in respect within the otaku community for both seiyus and guests and other, you know, notables, as well as within the community itself. There have been some rather interesting public incidents involving otaku as of late. Ray's already mentioned the fact that Hirano Aya was stalked almost in Malaysia, you know, and there have Chiharu Minorin has actually received death threats in the past as well, you know, before.
Not from Malaysia.
Okay, but that was not from Malaysia.
No.
Everybody knows about the way fans and otakus seem to really love their upskirt pics when stars visit Akihabara. And so I guess we just want to talk about, you know, are things just simply gotten worse over the last several years, or is this just simply the way some people are?
Well, I don't know. If you have shows that cater to those people all the time, I suppose it's possible.
So you think that maybe sometimes the content of certain shows, especially with all the fan service and everything like that, can contribute to an atmosphere where people might be more inclined to do those things?
Well, you know how people say, like, when you play violent video games, you may get violent. When you watch violent TV shows and movies, you may get violent. So if you watch a lot of upskirt, like anime, and you might be thinking, oh, I could do that. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I that hypothesis, I've never been a real big fan of that hypothesis. I'm sure that there is some data to support that people, and we certainly, I think, are affected to a certain extent by what we entertain ourselves with, but then most of us can make the distinction between the entertainment and reality. But of course, then if you're dealing with potentially somebody that's socially not in tune, and psychologically maybe being on the extreme end of escapism and the fact that reality to them is everything in anime. And I think it's honestly, I don't know about the Japan populace, but I think that is really a smaller percentage than the stereotypes would lead you to believe. Although we have seen some odd news items that implied there are some people out there that are quite, you know, disturbed in that way. But I really think it is a small portion, and I think that is only one portion of it. I think basically probably what it boils down to is I think those people that do these things would probably do them irregardless.
Or they would find another outlet if it wasn't.
Right, exactly. Anime. Yeah, it wouldn't be that exact thing, but they would maybe do it in a different venue.
Yeah.
But this is an old debate. I mean, you're basically when you get into the, you know, are we influenced
by TV
heavily to the point by television and stuff, and I think there's validity to that, but I think it's not the be-all end-all.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a simple one-to-one correlation, right? It kind of goes both ways in some ways. Ray, actually,
like Mike.
Yeah. I have appreciation for all kinds of things. I'll just say that.
Yes, you do.
Well, yes, actually, since you're such a BL fan, the women can actually relax, since you're not going to show any upskirt thingies.
Now, why would I do that? You know, I try to be a little bit of a gentleman sometimes, at least, right?
Because you appreciate BL. You don't care about sort of things, right?
Well,
he's a total gentleman as he's handing the drink to the woman with a Spanish fly in it.
You gave away one of my secrets there, Jeremy. Yeah, now everybody's going to know, and that's not going to work anymore. Ah, dang it.
If you guys heard some screaming in the background, that's Mike being the shaft.
I will neither confirm nor deny that report. I just live in a noisy place, that's all.
Damn right.
Shut your mouth.
In either case, the thing is that the problem here is that, you know, whether there has really been a shift or not. I mean, Ray, why don't you talk? I remember you mentioned something about how what your experience was like in Akihabara when you visited there several years ago, right?
You know why I hate Ibanjin there? Because they're the only losers that stood out and gawking on everybody and thinking they should have the right of way all the time. They were the loser tourists who look at everybody like freaks. Everyone else was cohabiting even, like, peacefully. You know, I go there, you know, everybody knows it's crowded, but we're all very understanding. If someone's there checking out something and he happened to be in the aisle, which usually is very freaking narrow, we usually wait a minute or two, and he knows that people are waiting, so he usually stands there for a minute or two and leaves. And the other times when you pass somebody, there's no avoid of rubbing into each other, but nobody says anything. Mm. And nobody's like trying to shove their way through or whatever. You know? And of course, like, I was watching this live performers by this street band. The band's name is Little Nun. They've done some theme songs for little shows. And basically, you know, I did something, I tried to buy some pictures and, you know, I got the price. I thought it was 500 yen for one. But then she said, no, not really. You get all three in one packet. And I felt really stupid. And she immediately assured me in Japanese, no, you're not stupid. Don't worry about it. And the guy next to me who only spoke Japanese was like, you know, I know exactly what he said. He says, don't worry about it. You know, you're not stupid. You're not a stupid foreigner. No worries. And that's when I understood that otaku knows each other very well. We're all awkward freaks that do stupid things from time to time.
Right.
Now, a few years after, when I'm in Taipei, maybe Taipei is a completely different atmosphere. I don't know. Like, I go to these otaku stores and people were pushing their way around and not looking out for each other. And they were like standing there for 10 minutes just talking. You know, and I'm like, maybe it is because it's Taiwan. Well, it is. It's a country where everyone's rude. Trust me. But, you know, like, I don't know. It just like otaku them seems to have fallen so much. You know, you got weird otaku stalking people. Like, people write death threats to Hirano Aya. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you anyways? You know, like, don't you know that these people work so hard in Japan and they don't have a choice? Your manager tells you what to do. You do what you do, whatever you have to do. I mean, that's Japan. Don't you know?
Right.
Well, maybe there's a differentiation, I guess, the term otaku in which you would place yourself in and some other people is a different – would be a different designation from, like, the stupid otaku or maybe the like the weeaboo type character, you know, or you know, whatever. The people that really just are honestly socially – inept to the point that it's not that they're just – they make silly mistakes, so they're a little quirky or different, because those kind of people are the people that I enjoy to be around, because you know what? They're a little different, but hey, they're interesting. They're cool, and they generally tend to be pretty chill. But the otaku that either has an extremely high opinion of themselves because of their otaku status and knowledge or ability, which really when you put it in the context of the real world means jack shit – and then the other person who just honestly is so completely socially inept and rude and they don't care about anybody else but their own particular interest, there's a difference probably. So I guess basically when it boils down to it, you could probably designate within that community, just like any community, you can't stereotype all of them, even in the positive sense that you might like to. You'd like to say, well, you know, we're all otakus, like, you know, we should have this positive community. But in reality, it's a sad realization that, you know what, that's not the case. There are some real ass-tards in the, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say that, like, my experience at conventions, you know, over the years, I've generally found people who go to American conventions, at least, to be a very nice bunch. Like, they definitely, especially in AX07, where I spent, like, half the convention in line, you know, actually getting to know people who were sitting next to me in line was actually really cool. People were really chill, even though we were all frustrated that, you know, we were waiting for so long, and it was hot, and, you know, they were doing all kinds of weird things, you know, to us, basically, the con staff, and...
What kind of weird things were the con staff doing to you? Like, probing you before you went to see you?
Ripping you off, cutting you off, and just say too bad, son.
Exactly. I know exactly what you mean. And
yeah,
and I agree. I agree in general speaking. But then you also run into the people, and we've all seen it, that really just don't have a lot of common sense. They behave very inappropriate, and they basically, you know, cause disturbance and are rude to people, disrespectful of other people, you know, like con staff, often even people that are volunteers get power tripping because
I've seen that.
You know, they have a position of authority. And that's not to say all of them, because there have been some really, I've met some really great con staff, some people that were really helpful that went out of their way to help me, but I've also, you know, met some people. I've been doing this for a while, and I know a lot of people that work on staff and are great and have a lot of interesting connections to those people. And, they're the exceptions.
You're just being too generalizing about some of the, like, I'm not talking about staff. I'm talking about the state of otakudom. I mean, long time ago, nobody, have you been to Japan before? Nobody shoots under skirt a long time ago. It's just ridiculous. Everybody was happy. Those women came out and dressed up. It's like, oh, you know, and now people harass them and just say, oh, I'm just going to take that picture without asking and all that. You see it even in manga, you know, like, you know, sometimes manga really tells you something realistic manga anyway. They actually shows these situations, you know, and you know, there, and then, you know, you have somebody said, oh, Akiba isn't for my atmosphere anymore. I'm not even going to go there, you know?
Wow.
And, you know, it's like something has changed. I don't know. If you haven't been to Japan, maybe you don't know, but something has changed. People has become different. I don't know. It's like, always say, yeah, there's always a small group of people. Well, I'll tell you what, that's been growing.
I mean, it sounds almost as if that... I mean, I could almost call that a growth of a sense of entitlement among fans, right? Like, what it sounds like to me from what you're describing, Ray, is that it used to be that fans were thankful at one point that anybody came out to see them at all, and they really liked that, but now they feel like they're entitled to take upskirt pics or something along those lines that otherwise would be seen as rather disrespectful.
or say, or that's just cosplayers. Seiyus, for example. Oh, if you're like a popular seiyu who plays Haruhi, then no, you're not allowed to go any do anything else, right, at all.
Well, I do want to say that I don't think it is. When I say it's a small percentage, or I don't know if I the term I use. I think I said smaller percentage. I mean that it is a, as to the whole, it is still a significant smaller percentage. I'd like to be hopeful that, you know, most of the people out there are pretty chill and decent and whatnot, but yeah, that doesn't mean that there isn't a growing number of people out there that are inappropriate, you know? And I know exactly what you're saying, but maybe it's just an overall thing in society as well, too. Not just even within the sphere of otakudom. But
oh, yeah,
especially notice it because this is pretty much our sphere.
Oh, yeah. Disrespect everywhere. You know, why sports player, yeah, why sports player from the South was saying, oh, you know, people were throwing batteries at me. And I was thinking, I don't think he needed to lie about that. And then I was thinking, why would people do that? That's just stupid. People are people too. You know, performers are performers.
Right.
And speaking of throwing something, Sakakibara Yui was saying once, like, guys, you gotta you have to stop throwing stuff on stage. It's dangerous.
Wow. And that's actually,
we're not talking about rock concert, man.
Yeah. I know of rock bands who where, you know, if anybody throws anything on stage, they just leave. Like, it's like, show's over, guys. Like, you
Metallica.
Know. Yeah, exactly. Metallica does that. And yeah, and the thing is that, you know, they honestly kind of have a right to do that because throwing stuff is dangerous. And especially if it's heavy. I mean, it's... I mean, she was actually being nice about it, if you ask me. I think that, in a way. Yeah. And so, yeah, I don't know whether, you know, there's more disrespect now than there was in the past, exactly. If you do a statistical analysis, you know, every generation seems to think the generation after it is more disrespectful than the last one, but
let's just face it, maybe we're becoming the otaku old men.
Hey, darn otaku kids, back when I was an otaku we were all nice to each other, bastards.
You young otaku whippersnappers,
get off my lawn.
Get off my akiba. Get out of my akiba.
When I was your age, I waited 5 hours for an autograph and I liked it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think basically, you know, I think all these things have their some truth to them, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's a blanket statement, but I think that these are definitely valid observations, and I think we all could probably relate to them at some point. And it'd be interesting to get some discussion. Maybe some people will leave some comments in the comment section about what they think about this.
Right. Share any stories that you might have seen about otaku respect or disrespect or anything like that, or if you've actually watched any of this phenomenon yourself, and, you know, whether you think there's a trend or not. We would love to have some discussion about this, you know, further within the comments section. All right.
I just want to say, please just try to be as classy as possible. If you're already a geek, it will look really, really bad, 10,000 times as bad. If you don't even try to be classy in your own way, you know, in a good way, I don't know how. I mean, some people might have a different standard. I don't know, but I'm like, dude.
I think though we won't necessarily have a problem with that with our listeners though.
Yeah,
I think our listeners are all classy people. I think classy people like to listen to us.
That's right.
At least I like to think so. Yes.
Because our podcast is all about class, after all. You know, nothing. Tawdry or dirty here.
Never.
Oh, oh boy. Read Genshiken the manga and imitate them.
Yeah, those guys are actually nice fans. They're definitely realistic, but they're actually decent people. So,
right.
You know, stay classy, otakudom. Stay classy. Does anybody have any parting words to say about this topic?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it.
All right. All right, guys. Without further ado, this has been Anime Diet Radio, episode number 39. I'm your host, Michael Huang.
And this is Ray from Taipei. We love Malaysia, but please, please don't do anything that's distasteful.
This is Jeremy from Redondo Beach. John out.
Good night, everybody.